Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
What a privilege it is to bring God's Word and to just have a time of sharing what God has been talking to me about. And we hear some really wonderful sermons. And the thing is, at the end of a sermon, people often come up to me and say, "Oh, that was a good word." And I say to them, "I don't care whether it's a good word or not. Are you going to do it?" There's a difference. Can we have that first slide up, please? If we believe something, we'll act on it. But if we just affirm it, we won't be acting. We'll just be saying, "Yeah, okay." Now, I believe in the Christian life, many of us affirm but don't really believe. Now, many of you would be familiar with the story of the guy, the trapeze artist, going over the Niagara Falls, and he says to some people there, "Do you believe I can do this?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So off he goes with his pole and walks across. That's great. Gets across, gets a wheelbarrow. "Do you believe I can go across with this wheelbarrow?" "Yeah, yeah." Okay, so he gets a wheelbarrow, goes across. And then he says, "Now, if I put somebody in the wheelbarrow, do you believe I could go across?" "Yeah, yeah." "Okay, hop in." "Oh." See, that's affirming. It's not acting. And so often in our Christian life, we affirm. Let's take the Bible. Could I have slide two, please? I've got four items there. Do we really believe? Creation. Okay. You believe in creation? You believe God created the world in 6 days? Adam and Eve were the first man and woman? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, do you use the term prehistory? There's no such thing. History started with Adam and Eve. There's no prehistory. Do you believe that men were on the earth with dinosaurs? Or did they die out many ages before man was created? Well, then you don't believe creation. You affirm it because it's there. But do you believe it? And it makes a difference. I'll be referring back to that a bit. Let's take miracles. Man, when I was first interested in the church, I wasn't a Christian, I was interested, went to a small country town, Broadford, and was a member of the Presbyterian Church there and worked closely with the Methodist Church. The Methodist minister there was sort of asked a few questions, you know, "Did Jesus really walk on water?" "Well, no, many people say there was a reef close by and he was just walking on the reef." "Ah. Well, what about the loaves and fishes?" "Oh, a small boy had some and so he taught that, you know, sharing is good, so everybody shared what they had." You see, we don't believe. We don't really believe. If you're short of food, do you believe God's going to provide or do you get worried? It's there. What about the virgin birth? We sung about the virgin birth. Is that so important? I mean, scientifically, it's impossible. It can't happen. But it happens. It happened. Why? Because Jesus had to be the sinless Son of God. If there was no virgin birth, Jesus is not God. His Father. The Holy Spirit caused Mary to conceive and the virgin birth. It's vital to our faith. It's vital to how we act. Or do we just get a bit, "Oh yeah, you know, I know that, but I still believe." Well, no, we don't still believe. Because when it really comes to a crunch, will crumble if we don't really believe and only affirm. Do you want to hop in the wheelbarrow? No, you can do it. You go. And the resurrection. How about the resurrection? We've sung about the resurrection today. Touches me every time. The resurrection, such a vital part. You know, Christianity is the only religion that claims the resurrection of their founder. All the others, no matter who you talk about, Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith, they all died and are still dead. But Jesus, yes, he died. Oh, did he? Yes, he was buried. Was he? Yes, he rose again. Did he? Yes, because it is vital. I want to go to the Bible and just try to reinforce our belief, reinforce our confidence that the Bible really is the Word of God. Do you know, in all of history, and I said there's no such thing as prehistory, in all of history, the Bible is the most attested document of any other history. It doesn't matter what you think about. You think about the Romans, you think about the Greeks, you think about Homer, you think about whoever. The Bible has thousands more documents to back it up than any other history. There are 5,000 documents which affirm the New Testament. And not only that, these documents were all written very short time after Jesus' death and resurrection. There's a gap. Jesus was crucified around about 33 AD, and then Rome was destroyed. Sorry, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. In between that gap of 33 and 70, the New Testament was written. No other documents are that close to the events that they record. None. And yet here we are, as Christians sometimes we think, well, is the Bible really true? I mean, you read the account of the resurrection and one will talk about Mary, one will talk about John and Peter, another will talk about a few things. Oh, no, then they're not all the same. What? So you look at the news. I remember that horrible thing in London about 3 weeks ago now, where these three guys, they hired the van, they went and ran into some people on the roadway, then they got knives and started stabbing people. Police came, they responded within 8 minutes and shot these three guys. Now on the news, were you here? Yeah, I was here. What did you see? Oh, These police, they were amazing. They got down behind the car and bam, 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 3 shots. No, there were 50 shots. Is that guy telling lies? No. He was telling what impressed him, what he saw. And then others talked about the fellow who tried to attack them with his skateboard. Only one person that I saw talked about that. Others talked about hiding under tables and so on. Were they all false reports? Were they all nonsense? No. They were there. They saw what impressed them. We saw. That's what's happened in the New Testament. It's the same story, the resurrection of Jesus, but from a different angle, from somebody who's heard differently than this. But all eyewitnesses of what has happened. It's there, and I've just told you, it's the most attested of any document, of any history in the whole world. And the Old Testament, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1948, and here they were, you know, hidden for many years. They have exactly the same wording and so on as the prophets of the Old Testament, of all the Old Testament. Yeah, you can rely on the Bible. The Bible is reliable, is accurate, and you can stake your life on it. I a couple of weeks ago went to a wonderful film, The Case for Christ. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. It was about this journalist, Lee Strobel, and he was an atheist. His wife was converted to Christianity. He didn't like it. But his wife stood strong, wouldn't change. And, no, no, this is real. This is a change in my life. And I'm going to show that she's wrong. So this guy, investigative journalist, goes around trying to disprove the resurrection, trying to disprove that his wife was just on a fairy tale. And after a couple of years interviewing experts, trying to find all the evidence, he could find nothing that would disprove the resurrection. And he then wrote a book. He's now written several books. And this movie, A Case for Christ, if you haven't seen it, I'd encourage you to see it. It is wonderful. And it will strengthen your faith. A couple of lawyers in the 1930s, 1940s, they were atheists. And they wanted to prove that, this is just all made up stuff. And one of them, a guy called Frank Morrison, he wrote a book, Who Moved the Stone? And another one, J.N.D. Anderson, The Evidence for the Resurrection. They're atheists before they started looking into the evidence. They were Christians when they finished. Because it stands up. It would stand up in a court of law. It stands up in history. And of course, those of us here who have given our lives to Christ, we know the reality of that that Christ does in our lives. Now, I'm going to look at some scriptures, and I want us to just... I very quickly tried to show you that you can believe every word in the Bible. It's there, it's true. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, you'll notice I'm not quite up with it as Skye is. You know, Skye pulls out her... What did you pull out? Some little thing, and reading it here and this. I'm not quite up with that technology. Now, I'm a little bit like the guy I heard of sitting in his lounge room, calls out to his wife, can I have newspaper, please? And she... Nah, haven't got newspaper. Use my iPhone. You sure? Yeah, use my iPhone. Yeah, absolutely sure? Yeah, use my iPhone. Tell you what, that blowfly never knew what hit him. So I don't use technology, I use the real stuff. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, Paul writes this, and look, when I first read it, it hit me between the eyes. If Christ has not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If the resurrection is just a fairy story, if it's not true, well then we're wasting our time. Might as well go and have a good time. Go to the footy this afternoon or whatever. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But praise God, it did happen. See, I said Christianity is the only religion that claims a resurrection, that claims that the founder is still alive. And it's vital, absolutely vital to us and what we do. Do you affirm it or do you really believe it? I just know that other religions, take the Jehovah's Witness people, they're so sincere, so devout, they spend hours, but they don't know whether they're saved or not. Perhaps their works are good enough. Perhaps they've sold enough watchtowers. Perhaps they haven't. They don't know. Other faiths, relying on the works, the good works. Well, let's all face up to it. If you were judged on your good works alone, you reckon you'd make it? I wouldn't. The only thing that is going to matter is the resurrection of Christ. He paid the debt that we should be paying. He defeated death on that cross so that we don't have to die. See, if you're a Christian, you've got eternal life now. It doesn't happen after you die. You've got it now. You're eternally alive. So why do we live our lives as if, well, what's on this earth is more important than what's up there? Think about it. You spend more time on your phone and your iPad and you want him something, your blueberries or whatever you call them. Just spend more time on that than reading your Bible. We've got to face up to it. We play. We don't really believe. We affirm. But see, if it's true, which I firmly believe it is, then our focus, our energy, our thoughts are going to be far more on the Lord and his ways than on the world and its ways. And each one of us has to come to that sort of conclusion. Where do I stand? You see, Jesus really did die. There is no doubt about that. Let's have a look at some other parts of the Bible. He really did die. In John 19, verse 33... Excuse me. I've often wondered why these are here. That one's all right. Nothing wrong with that one. They're all good. So if you're thirsty, sorry, I've used them all. So, in John 19, verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Now, the Romans were pretty clever at crucifying people. They knew what they were doing. And so if they wanted somebody to die a little more quickly, often they didn't, but if they did, they'd go and break their legs so that the person hanging on the cross could not then raise himself up to draw breath, and so he'd die of asphyxiation. Well, they came to Jesus. He's already dead. So you hear these things, oh, no, he only fainted. No, he didn't. These guys knew what they were doing. And if they didn't do it properly, they were in trouble. The Romans were pretty brutal with their discipline. And they had these squads who crucified people. They knew what they were doing. No doubt about it. And when they came to see Jesus, he was already dead. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. Verses 43 to 45. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marvelled that he was already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body of Joseph. So you see, it wasn't just an ordinary foot soldier, it was a centurion. Affirmed, yep, this guy died. He's dead. And think of the disciples, Joseph, Nicodemus, the disciples. They took Jesus' body and they prepared it for burial. Look, if there'd been any sign of life, do you reckon they wouldn't have known? Of course they knew. They knew that he was dead. They embalmed his body, wrapped him in cloths, and put him in that tomb. Now let's have a look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 62 through to 66. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I'll rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'Oh, he's risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how." They knew he was in the tomb. And this is interesting. They believed what Jesus had said about rising on the third day, because they needed the body in there. If the body was there, no resurrection. They needed it there. So they went to Pilate. "Come on, this guy, you know, he deceived a lot of people while he was walking around. Now we've killed him. He's dead. He's in the tomb. Let's make sure he stays there and they don't come and steal the body." Okay. Seal the tomb. Now, how did they seal the tomb? Well, they would put either some rope across, which was affixed so that you could see if it was tampered with, or they put seals around so you could see if the seal was broken. Whichever way, it doesn't say which way they actually sealed it, but it was sealed so that you would know if it had been tampered with. Okay, so seal the tomb and post a guard. Can we have that slide of that? So here's the tomb. And here's a guard. Now, sorry, it's a little bit unrealistic, but I want you to get the idea. Look at that stone. That's realistic, the size of it. Pretty difficult to move that. Here are these guards, Roman soldiers. They're trained. They're killers. They know what they're doing. They're under strict discipline, so that if anything goes wrong, they cop it. Their lives are on the line. Make sure that tomb stays as it is. Seal it so that we can know. Oh, good. All right. So, Jesus, he's dead, he's buried, and the tomb is sealed. And so the Pharisees think, so now we'll show them. This guy was just talking hogwash while he was around. wasn't true. This resurrection stuff just doesn't happen. Okay. So, what did happen? Let's go to Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there's a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came down, rolled back the stone from the door, and sat on it. Earthquake, angel. So I asked you, do you believe or do you affirm? You believe in miracles? I believe in angels. I've had plenty who've helped me in my life. I believe in angels. I believe when we need it, they'll be there. And here they were. They wanted to really make the final preparations for Jesus because they did it hurriedly in the first place when he was crucified. And here they were. They wanted to go and anoint Jesus properly. But an angel came and rolled the tomb away, rolled the stone away. You're not in here. Mark 16. Verses 5 and 6. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? The tomb is empty." Oh, man, I love singing that song. The tomb is empty, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, Jesus is risen. Hosanna, praise to the living God. He's not there. The tomb's empty. He's alive. Oh, he's alive. Yes, the stone is rolled away. He's alive. He's no longer where he lay. He's alive. I can hear the angels singing. Let heaven and earth rejoice. He's alive. When I sing that, I get excited. He's alive. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God. And he's alive now. And it'll make a difference to me now. Not later. Not when I die. Now. Making a difference because I know that he's alive. All right, so what was the reaction? Let's have a look at Matthew 28 again. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 2. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Sorry, I've already looked at that one, haven't I? No, let's go to Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came to the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money, did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. These soldiers, remember, trained, disciplined, under severe discipline, and anything goes wrong, they come and the events are just so overwhelming, they go and hand themselves in. While we slept. Any Roman soldier who slept on duty, that's it. Finish. While we slept, they came, rolled the stone away. I mean, how stupid. You see the size of the stone? You reckon you could do that without waking somebody up? Yeah, could you move it? And then if you were really that desperate, okay, perhaps you could do that. But you'd rush into that tomb, you'd get the body and you'd scarp it as quickly as you could. No, the clothes were all folded up neatly. No rush there. He's alive. The soldiers reported. The Pharisees, Sadducees, all those guys of the Sanhedrin said, okay, tell this story. Just tell it and we'll make sure that you're okay. Yeah, we'll bribe people. We'll make sure you're okay. Well, let's look at Mark chapter 16, verses 5 to 6. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They are alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. You see, they couldn't do anything about it. The tomb was empty. They couldn't produce a body. So perhaps this resurrection stuff is true. Perhaps he did rise. Well, too right he rose. Let's go on to the next slide, please, the appearances. After he'd risen, now remember I told you about a news story and we had eyewitness accounts. Well, let's have a look at how many. Now, I don't think this is a complete list. Let's have a look at how many people actually saw Jesus after he'd been buried. Mary Magdalene, several women, Emmaus Road, Peter, 10 disciples in the upper room, 11 disciples in the upper room. Remember, the 10 were without Thomas, Thomas later. 7 men at the Sea of Galilee, 11 disciples on the mountains, disciples near Bethany, and over 500 brethren. Now, I told you about this movie I saw, The Case for Christ, and he interviewed a psychologist, and he said, now, look, couldn't they all, because they were so tied up with this life of Jesus, so stirred up, couldn't they be hallucinating and just, he said, no, not possible. One or two, perhaps. But that many? No. 500 at once? No. Hallucinations don't happen that way. Jesus appeared to them. Jesus was alive and still is. Okay, so what effect on the disciples? Let's have a look at them, these disciples. I often used to read these accounts and I used to thump my head and think, yeah, gee, something wrong here, you lot. In Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things, this is Jesus speaking, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Now remember the relationship. These disciples were around with Jesus. He's their teacher. He's instructing them about what's going to happen. And Mark 8, verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. They didn't get it. The tomb was empty. He's appeared to many, many people, and yet they still don't really get it. Oh, come on. You know, Mary comes and says to Peter and John, I've seen the risen Christ. Oh, come on, you're a silly woman. I'm not going to take any notice of you. So off they go, running to the tomb. Oh, it is empty. See, we often read these things. Jesus taught them very clearly. On the third day, he would rise again. They didn't get it. They had to be totally convinced. Oh, well, so for 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to them. For 40 days, here and there. And then he finally went back to heaven. So they're a bit thick. How about you? How about me? Do you read the Bible? Do you get it? We have eternal life. Store up things in heaven, not on this earth. Think more of heavenly things than of earthly things. Oh, boy. The other day, I watched this ABC show on the war on waste. And they had this huge pile of clothes. And the guy was saying, how long do you think it takes in Australia to throw away this many clothes? Oh, a couple of years? No, no, come here. 1 year? No. 6 months? No. 2 weeks? No. 10 minutes. And this pile of clothes would have reached almost these lights and filled this stage. 10 minutes. Are we part of that? These airhead ladies were shown who went shopping 2 or 3 times a week. And if they wore something and put it on Facebook, they would not wear it again. Lest somebody laugh at them. Now, I hope there's nobody sitting here who's like that. But if you are, start thinking of heavenly things, please. But I mean, even if in moderation you're not like that, where are you as far as the world goes? Where are we? What do we need to do to show that the resurrection is really true? These disciples, they slept while Jesus prayed. They argued about who's the greatest. They ran away when Jesus was arrested. Peter denied knowing him. They were frightened. They stayed behind locked doors. All of that. Terrified. And then they saw Jesus. And then they understood that he was alive. See, it can make a difference. In New Guinea, a work party came up, similar to the one that went over to Amari. And in the work party was one young bloke. And about 18, bit of a big head, thought he knew everything. And we went down to the beach on an off day, and I said, look, don't go in swimming today. We've just had a cyclone. The sea is so rough. Ah, no, I'm right. I surf in Australia. I said, don't go in. He went in. Got into trouble. Now, looking at me, you might not believe it, but in my younger days, I wasn't too bad as a swimmer. I did my bronze medallion, you know, life-saving stuff. So off I went to help him. We got there, and when I got to him, he was close to dying. He'd been drinking salt water and he's panicking and so on. I said, settle down. Let's just see. So he'd been caught in a rip, and the rip was ripping us. So I just calmed him down and I said, okay, come on. We can't fight this. You can't fight a rip. You'll just exhaust yourself and that's the end. So off we went. We went. The trees were about that big. I said to him, there's only one thing to do here. What? Let's start praising Jesus. No, not shooting us. Let's start praising Jesus. So I started, bless you, Jesus. Oh, you're so great. You're so wonderful. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And right then, a log floated behind us. Big enough for one of us. He hung on to it. So, what to do now? Keep praising Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. And just then, a tyre which Beryl's brother had thrown into the sea came bobbing up, found us, got on the tyre. We were saved. I say this because I know the reason I was able to do that was because I believe in the resurrection. Wasn't worried. Could have died. The trees were pretty small. We were a fair way out. Are you afraid of dying? Are you worried about the future? Jesus is risen. Jesus is real. Jesus is the one who will care for us. And if we believe, not just affirm, it will make a big difference to how we live, to what we do with our resources, to our witnessing. See, I know that many are afraid to go up to people and witness to them. What are you afraid of? Think of these disciples. They were scared stiff. I would be too if I'd seen my leader hanging on a cross, dying and going. Don't want that to happen to me. Shh, off. Yeah, understandable. But changed from that type of person into a fearless group of people who changed the world. And what was the difference? The resurrection. Without it, they were a trembling mob, scared stiff, and trying to hide, hoping that the Romans wouldn't come and find them. But what changed them? The resurrection. They'd seen Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they were fearless. Peter, John, thrown into prison. Don't you preach in that name. Well, okay, you can say that, but we have to obey our living God. We're going to be faced with a few things very, very soon. Euthanasia. We're going to sit in our chairs on Sunday and just let it happen. Same-sex marriage. We're going to keep our mouths shut in case somebody takes offence, calls us homophobic and brings us before court. Come on, this is all real. Are we as scared as those disciples? Are we prepared to let the, what did David call them, the uncircumcised Philistines get their way and make laws which just bring us further and further down the pit? No, it's time we believed. You're going to hop in the barrow? You're going to believe? Stand up? I was talking to a friend just recently and was talking about this sort of thing. And the friend said, "Oh, David, be careful. You might find yourself in prison." "Well, yeah, I might. Come and visit me." No, true. It could come to that. Are we prepared for it? And I think that if we truly believe what we read here, I've talked about the resurrection, but there are many other areas in the Bible where we have to make a decision. Am I going to believe it or just affirm it? Andy, I'd like to sing that song, "I Believe in the Resurrection," again. Could the worship team come up, please? We're singing about what we believe. Well, let's make it more than just singing. Let's make it action. Do you know when the church was first born? You can read in the Bible how their emphasis was on the resurrection, because it made all the difference. David, could we have that one in Acts 3 verse 15, please? This is preaching. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Are you a witness of that, or do you just affirm it? I'm going to take my substitute for an iPad back, and let's sing this song and let's believe it.